listening to the Swim Out Podcast, a show about the wonderful world of outdoor swimming.
Hello, Mikey.
Hi, Vicky.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of the Swim Out Podcast with Mikey, our special guest presenter this month. Today's episode is all about journeys.
We meet the Mirtha Mermaid, who recently followed her dreams to Antarctica.
I'm scared of really weird things, like I'm scared of sitting on a high stool and I'm scared of standing on a chair, but, you know, I did a mind swimming in Antarctica.
Mikey has a cuppa with an enduring record holder from Jersey.
Successfully swam the channel 2 ways, 36 and a half hours. I finished on my 41st anniversary of my first channel swim.
We discuss journeys with a man who designs dream journeys for a living.
A lot of people punch below their weight, and I can see that. And my idea is to say to people, you have enormous potential. Start your journey.
I love hearing your feedback and receiving your likes on your podcast app, as it really helps other mer people find us. So keep liking, rating and sharing our episodes. Thank you.
Today we've got Mikey with us, who Hunter, our editor, and I met on the beach in Dover back in 2019, and who you might recognise from his fabulous announcements. How does it feel to be presenting with us in Swim Out Studios?
Oh, it's lovely, Vicky. Thank you for letting me out the sound booth. And who knew you had tea and biscuits in the studio, Tell me what the news is today, then.
We went to the British Podcasting Awards yesterday. We had a super day out in Brockwell Park. Lots of really amazing podcasters there who we met, and we got to talk to loads of people. We didn't win, which was sad, but we're truly honoured to have been nominated and be there on such a good fun day.
And to be shortlisted must have been lovely as well.
Yeah, no, it was just great. We've thoroughly enjoyed it. So, yes, thank you, British Podcasting Awards. One short journey that Mikey and I took recently was the Brighton Pier to Pier. I had a bit of an old lady moment having to walk on all those nasty stones. But having got over my old lady moment, I then decided that I was going to swim the Pier to Pier fly. How was your swim, Mikey?
Oh, it was lovely. It wasn't as challenging as Butterfly, I can tell you that. I went in the Challenger race, which is just for fun. And, you know, that's what it was. There was lots of people there, first time racers. And I think they really got the bug. I was talking to a few of them afterwards and they were asking about next year's and, you know, what other events they could join in. So it was great to see, actually. And it was the 84th Brighton Swimming Club peer-to-peer race. So well done them. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, I loved it too. Hunter also went to do a peer-to-peer, although I think his peer-to-peer wasn't actually from peer-to-peer. So that was in Bournemouth. And he got to talk to a few other people who were also taking part.
So we're here at Bournemouth peer-to-peer and I found a swimmer. What's your name?
My name's Ali Winter.
And how would you describe the conditions today?
I'd say it's a little bit cloudy, a little bit of wind, but the sea is looking okay. Not as flat as I would like, but okay, manageable.
How do you feel about the distance?
I'm scared. Every time I come, the pier looks further away.
Have you got any tips for a first timer?
Just enjoy it, I think. Yeah, don't stress.
I just completed my first Bournemouth peer-to-peer swim. The conditions were pretty awful. It rained really heavily, but we made it through in a good time of 33 minutes. The course kind of looped in on itself unexpectedly, so we didn't even do the pier to pier, but I'll definitely be back.
Excuse me, ladies, have you two just done the swim?
We just finished.
How would you rate it? How was the day?
It was good fun, yeah. We just about managed to stay together. It's hard to see each other in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least we could see the boys because they were huge.
That's good. Yeah. How was it in there? Cold?
Very choppy. No, nice and warm, but very choppy.
This is my daughter and my nephew.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah. Great.
Family.
Great. And
yeah.
What, normally in this configuration of no wetsuit,
or yes, do you... about right.
Okay. David doesn't get cold, apparently.
You're a real star, David. I wonder how you manage it.
If you're thinking of entering a peer-to-peer race, or any other of the many organised races up and down the country, but haven't yet signed up for one, our advice is go for it. It's a great way to meet loads of other swimmers.
Kath Pendleton, fondly known as the Merthyr Mermaid, is the Guinness World Record holder for the most southerly ice swim by a female at a latitude of 66.6 degrees south in Antarctica. The swim of a mile was completed in February 2020 in 32 minutes and 54 seconds. And the journey recorded in a beautiful BBC TV documentary. I loved that. She's also swum the English Channel and describes herself as a single mum from Wales who doesn't look like an athlete, but looks can be deceiving. So welcome, Kath. It's so lovely to have you on our podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So today's programme is about journeys, and I'm interested in your journey into some pretty serious swimming. Tell me how and why you got started.
I'd injured my back and I was doing triathlon at the time, and for once I was actually really enjoying the running part of it and stuff. And at the time I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do if I can't run and I can't cycle, because for me, I was a full wetsuit swimmer and the normal April to October swimming outside. And I seen an advertisement in the H2O magazine, which is now the Outdoor Swimmer, for Chill Swim for the following February. This was September, and it was about a gala in the winter in just your bathers. And I thought, who would do that? That's like absolutely crazy, you know, even taking your wetsuit off. And I just seen it as a challenge. And said to one of my friends, Rachel, would you like to do it? And she said, I've seen it. And it just went from there. I got addicted from there on in.
And then you went on to swim the Channel?
I've always been a water baby, so I've always swam. And my uncle used to tease me when I was young and say, was the water wet? And I used to say, of course it was wet. And, you know, you didn't really hear about people swimming the Channel then. So if it came on the news, it was massive, massive. And I said to him, you watch me. I'm going to swim the Channel one day, Uncle Freddie. And he was like, yeah, the water will be wet. And it was just one evening when I was at home and a little bit lost and thought, I've got to admit, I'd had too many gins. And I just thought, you know what, I need to do some other challenge. I sent the emails off that evening. And 2 years later, there I was waiting for the hooter.
So it's a lot of training to do, and you've got two kids. How did you manage to fit it all in?
Yeah, well, I begged, stealed and borrowed babysitters sometimes. But a lot of it I did early morning. So I would get up before, I was working full time at the time, and that was quite difficult. But I would swim with three other friends, Rachel, Ros and Vicky, in the dark. Two mornings a week we would swim. And in the documentary, it says about trout slapping you in the face, which is true. The trout used to slap you in the face. And that was it, really. And you find a way.
I swam the Channel. I'm like, I'm pretty pleased with that. And I've sort of stopped. But something about the cold water really got you hooked. What was it?
Oh, I think it's just the feeling of being able to reset. I'm really hyperactive and I find it really hard to relax. So once, I can't explain it. You know, people talk about the high afterwards, and you know, I am certainly high after a swim, and I'll come home and I've got loads of energy. But I think for me, it's just actually in that moment, you know, that sort of 15, 20 minutes where your mind is only occupied on that swim. You know, your breathing and how your swim stroke is, and how have you got, and you can't think of anything else. Whereas when you're doing long distance, you know, I've got an abscess at the moment, and I did a big swim at the weekend, and all I could think about at times was the abscess, and should have done more training, and I should have done this, and oh, this is nice, oh, that's nice, oh, no, I'm hurting. Whereas in the cold, you don't really get time for any of that.
Jamie Monaghan said, because she does both as well, she said that when she does the ice swim, she just becomes incredibly aware and focused. And you're just kind of checking in with yourself the whole time. So do you find that very absorbing?
Yeah, I do. And I love Jamie. She's my total ice inspiration. She's my queen of the ice. And she's, there's no room for error either. You know, you've got to be so aware. And, you know, you need to notice those small changes, because luckily I've never had an experience that's been bad in ice swimming. And maybe it is just because I'm so aware. And if anything changes, I'm just like, no, time's up. You know, I call it overcooked. I'm like, yeah, it's time to get out. I get really energized by it, which is probably opposite to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Well, fantastic. So how did you end up in Russia at the ice swimming championships?
Pure luck. No, so by this time I'd been on the ice swimming circuit since 2016 was when I did the first chill swim. I'd actually did my first ice mile in the January of that year. I think 10 people were to be selected from Great Britain. And I'm not fast. I'm not a fast swimmer at all. And I really, really wanted to go. But the International Ice Swimming Association said that when all the countries had put in their swimmers, if there was any spaces left, then that would be allocated to the countries with the most members. So Great Britain got 4 extra places, and I was really lucky that I got a place to go. I absolutely loved it. It was a 0 degree at 1 kilometre. Jamie was there and she was so sweet. So yeah, luck. And it not being very popular at the time.
So you've got a fridge full of ice in your garden. How's this helped in your training?
I probably sat in there 3 times a week. And the only thing that I don't think it really helps with the acclimatization that much, because when we were locked down in Wales this winter, I went in there, and then when I went back into the water in end of March after 3 months out of the water, I was absolutely frozen at like 12, 13 degrees. And I'd been sitting in the freezer every night through January and February. But what I didn't get in Antarctica was I didn't get any damage to my fingers. Whereas when I first went in 0 degrees, I lost the sensation in my fingertips for 3 months. So the freezer's just really a mindset. Yeah, it's not my favourite thing. I don't like it.
I'm not surprised. It's a very good image, though, actually, I have to say. It looks fantastic. So, yes, let's talk about the Antarctic expedition. It's an enormous and terrifying journey that you went on. And in the film, you said, it was terrifying, I was sold. So most people shy away from things that frighten them. What is it that makes you leap at such frightening things?
I just love the ice, you know, and to have the privilege to go to Antarctica was just amazing. I mean, there's things in the ice that do scare me in swimming, you know, and although I've swum the channel, I'm not very good at swimming in the sea, and it's something that I do get a little bit, oh, is this all right, is that all right? Whereas in the ice, like Jamie said, there's no room for egos. It's really serious. And I just love it. And I wasn't sold on the danger. I was sold on the absolute privilege and, you know, to be able to go. And Jamie is my inspiration for the ice sevens. I don't know. I think a challenge is good, isn't it? I think sometimes something that scares you a little bit, if we wouldn't do anything if it was easy, but it's got to be a little bit scary and push you out of your comfort zone. But but I'm scared of really weird things. Like I'm scared of sitting on a high stool and I'm scared of standing on a chair. But, you know, I did a mind swimming in Antarctica. I was able to just think about the actual feeling of being in the ice rather than the wildlife and stuff.
How was the swim itself? Did it just go in a flash, or
it did go in a flash. It was the most bizarre thing, because I jumped in, and normally when you jump in the freezing cold water, it's like somebody's smashed your hands in a vice, isn't it? And it's like your teeth hurt. And I'm not selling ice swimming here, but I jumped in off the boat, and it felt like ages before I could start, but basically they were just moving the boat for the camera. It was probably 5-10 seconds, but I didn't feel anything. I was just thinking the whole time of, Kath, just keep swimming, get this done. And then I would drift off and think, oh, look how blue it is. It's lovely. And I was thinking, no time for daydreaming today. Just keep swimming. So I was really scared of the recovery because I didn't want to, you know, be showing ice swimming on TV and me being collapsed in a heap at the bottom of the boat. And I'm not the smallest of people, so it wouldn't have been very pleasant. Whoever would have had to carry me up the steps. A good friend of mine said, I've never seen you with blue lips and shivering. And I was like, it was actually really cold.
Wow, it sounds like an amazing thing. You must be so proud of yourself. And just great to get the Guinness World Record.
Yeah, that was all of that was pure accident just because of how things changed. You know, I was going there to do my zero degree for the ice sevens, and even that wasn't guaranteed because we didn't know where we would be able to swim. So, you know, to get the zero was really, really lucky. But do you know what? I loved it. I would have done it the next day. I loved it that much. It was just amazing.
I checked your page on Wowser, which is the World Open Water Swimming Association, where you were nominated as Women's Swimmer of the Year, coming a respectable third in 2020. You had so many beautiful comments and so many people. This lady called Nina McGinley said that your dedication to improving your sport and pushing the physical, mental and emotional boundaries, you know, captured the hearts of a nation. I think they really, really did. So is it important to you to be a role model?
To be nominated with all those magnificent swimmers was just like, I was a bit dumbstruck by it all, really. And I've done something that I really love doing. And I'm finding out that it's inspired, you know, lots of women to try it. Not necessarily in the ice, but, you know, just what one lady in particular had said that she hadn't gone to a local water sports because she thought she'd have to get in a wetsuit and, you know, with some body image issues she didn't want to. And I was just like, do you know what, if, you know, I put on loads of weight, and every time I see a picture of myself, I'm just like, oh, I can't look at that, you know, because
I'm a bigger woman and, I'm often sort of standing there before the event and I see kind of like, you know, mostly younger men looking at you going, oh, you know. And I think, no, I'll probably burn you off, actually. I mean, I'm actually not that slow, you know, and I actually know what I'm doing. Like you, Kath, you know, I mean, I am a swimmer. You definitely are a swimmer. You definitely know what you're doing in the water. And I think it's just that we don't look like we do, but we do. So what next? You've talked a little bit about the Ice Sevens Challenge. Can you just tell the listeners what that is?
Yeah, so the Ice Sevens Challenge is with the International Ice Swimming Association, where you do one ice mile in each of the seven continents of the world. One of the ice miles has to be a zero, so all of the three thermometers have to read under one. So that's obviously the hardest to complete from a logistical point of view and just from training. It's extreme. So far, I've done 8 official ice miles, and I've only done 3 of my ice sevens because most of them have been in Europe. And I had loads of plans for this year, like everybody else. So I was meant to go to Russia and Canada and hopefully finish them with Chile at the end of the year. But I'm not even sure that I'm going to get any of my ice sevens challenge done this year. So I'm going to concentrate this summer on just falling back in love with swimming. And I've been playing mermaids a lot, which is handstands and just chitty chatting. So yeah, I've got quite a few events in the UK. It's sad to say, and I should embrace the summer. Summer solstice was what, yesterday? And I'm just like looking for winter temperatures. I can't wait.
There's not very many people who would be saying, I can't wait for winter.
Thanks to Kath there for sharing her story. You can find a documentary, The Mirtha Mermaid, on the BBC iPlayer in the UK, or follow Swim Kath Swim on Instagram. There's also a longer interview on our website at swimout.net.
Sal Minty Gravett holds the record for being the oldest lady to have completed a two-way channel crossing. She's also the only female to have successfully swum the channel every decade of her life, starting as a teenager. Sal is the leading mermaid in Jersey, and Mikey went and grabbed a cup of tea with her.
So I'm here with Sal Minty Gravett, and we're discussing her many channel swims and what made her decide, or what led up to her doing a channel two-way.
In 1974, I swam Windermere, and at the end of Windermere, I was an unknown, and it was a BLDSA swim, and John O'Hara said to me, "Bloody good swim there, Sally." He said, "You know that if you can do Windermere, you can do Channel." And I went, "Really?" That was 1974. Came home, spoke to my dad, spoke to my mum, spoke to my coach. There was another young girl who I'd been training with, who was 13 at the time. And I said, "Do you think I could do the Channel?" And in those days, it was very easy to book a Channel swim. So we phoned up, booked a Channel swim for 1975, 45 years ago. So on the 18th of August, there was a Channel relay race. So we found six people in Jersey to do a Channel relay. So we all trained together, plus Linda and I trained for our solo at the same time. 1975, we did our Channel relay, the youngest team and the fastest time, 9 hours 50. And then 2 weeks later, Linda and I went back and we swam the Channel. So I came back to Jersey. We both came back heroines. She was 14, I was 18. And I then started doing swimming for Britain. I swam in Spain, I swam in Belgium, representing GB for the BLDSA. And over the years, I kept swimming and dabbling here and there. And I said, I want to say I'd swum the Channel both ways. I did a France-England swim in 1992. I was starting a swimming school. I had successfully swum the Channel three times in three different decades. Things escalated, and then I started training with a girl called Wendy. And she was doing a two-way after her cancer treatment. So we booked our two-ways in 2013. She wanted me to go first to be the first Jersey girl. And I went on a big spring tide, which was a big mistake. I put on so much pressure onto myself that it was a nearly 18-hour swim. We finished in a thunderstorm on a spring tide, high tide at Wissant. And I turned around, and if I'd turned around, the swim would have been stopped anyway because of the thunderstorm. So I then had my five channel swims in five different decades, but I still needed to do this two-way to get my second France-England swim. 2016 was the year I allowed for myself, started thinking and putting myself first, and then successfully swam the channel two ways, 36 and a half hours at the end of August. In 2016, which was actually 41 years, I finished on my 41st anniversary of my first channel swim, which was doubly cool and very sweet, becoming the oldest two-way swimmer at that time.
So what I was wanted to ask you was why you were awarded an MBE.
I got a phone call from the governor of Jersey, and he said to me, "Sally, I've got some really nice news for you. You've been awarded an MBE for your services to long-distance swimming, predominantly for 27 years as president of Jersey Long Distance Swimming Club." And I said, "I'm blown away by all of that. I helped build up people swimming in the sea, and I've now passed that on to many, many people."
And do we have to call you Lady?
No, Lady. Sadly not. I have friends who call me Duchess as a joke, but no, you don't have to call me anything except Sal.
Sounds like you had a lovely time in Jersey, Mikey.
Oh, it was so nice. I'll be visiting again. I absolutely love going to Jersey. I actually caught Sal at the beginning of July. She was over doing her, well, attempting her solo, but unfortunately her spot was weathered out. So I'm sure she'll be back to try and do that sixth solo in the sixth decade.
Get in touch with the Swim Out podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
Our next guest is one of the catalysts of the open water swimming revolution and is personally responsible for inspiring countless swimming quests around the world. I first met John Cunningham Rolls in 2006 when I went on a swim trek to the Greek islands. It was my first swimming holiday and the start of a massive journey for me. I remember the test swim on the first day when he said, "Swim out to the buoy and back." I was both thrilled and terrified as my father's voice echoed, "Don't go out too far." At the end of the holiday, I asked John if I could swim the channel, and he said, "Why not?" Thank you for getting me started, and welcome to Swim Out.
Thank you very much indeed, Vicky. That's very kind.
So you were involved in the setup of Swim Trek, the swimming holiday company, back in the early noughties. At what stage did you realise that this would become the journey of your life?
Initially, it was a bit of nothing ventured, nothing gained on my own behalf. And it was such a new idea. It became quite clear, certainly on my own, on a personal level, that more and more people were seeking greater and greater satisfaction and an extraordinary reawakening through the holidays. And I think that really triggered something, certainly in me personally.
So you've gone on now to set up SwimQuest, and you've got some beautiful looking holidays in places like the Maldives and the Bahamas, as well as heaps of really interesting swims in the UK. So tell us about your quest to make this happen.
Most people would appreciate that because of the pandemic, the idea of any overseas travel is certainly virtually non-existent, except for obviously for vital circumstances. So focusing on the UK, decided that it'd be a good idea to acquire the Silly Swim Challenge event last year anyway. So that was a huge thing for us, and we're very much looking forward to that event this coming in September. Equally, we then looked at Cornwall as a location. So it's finding areas that people can get to, we think that they would enjoy. And we're cautiously optimistic that our location in Formentera, which is just off Ibiza in the Balearics, will go ahead in late September, October. But it's equally the same. We hope to get away to Corfu and Croatia as well in September.
So in your research for places to set up holidays, you must have been to some amazing destinations. What do you think is your perfect swimming journey?
One of the most extraordinary up there would be my original trip to the Arctic Circle, to Lofoten. And I did that back, I think it's in 2011. And the idea of going to an area which is ostensibly known for mountaineering and for kayaking and is in the Arctic, southern end of the Arctic Circle, a long way away. I was full of trepidation about the whole idea anyway, but I went there and it was truly extraordinary. And it's what I call frontier swimming.
So you've been part of so many people's swimming journeys. Do any of those journeys, apart from mine, of course, stand out? I mean, you must have seen people just transform.
I see people separated from nature. So my job is to bring them back to nature. And I've done that nearly 20 years, and I will carry on doing it forever. Because it's a unique thing. It's not me. I am purely and simply saying to people, this is creation at its finest. This is the absolutely extraordinary moment. And often I sometimes say to people, I won't tell you about the swim. I won't tell you about what's coming up. I'll let you find out. Let you, you know, discover. Someone arrives on a week tour on a Saturday and they leave on a Friday, hopefully very different. But very different for the better. And that is the potential inside them. So I see potential in people. I can spot it. Doesn't take me very long. And that's a wonderful thing to see people suddenly think, actually, hear someone say, you're quite good at this. In fact, you're very good. And move on and say, right, where can we go from here? To be part of journeys like that is a great gift.
I mean, I'd never done any long distance swimming before that swim track holiday. It hadn't occurred to me to try it, really. I'd been a pool swimmer all my life. Just that opportunity and the encouragement of you and the other guides and the other swimmers was just, yeah.
So, yes, it is. It's totally transformational.
I remember kind of like butterflies in my tummy, like, can I do this? Can I do this? And if John thinks I can, then maybe I can, you know, because you know, you did not quite, I wasn't quite confident enough to believe that I could. I mean, I'd never swum in the sea. I'd never done.
Well, I remember taking you for a swim in just off Gozo.
And, yes, I remember that swim too.
Yeah, we did a 3-hour swim together, something like that exactly. Because once I called it, I had these memories coming back, and very, very impressive, very focused.
I know, but on that swim, do you remember there was one point where everywhere I looked, there were just jellyfish, and I was like, where can I go? What can I do? There's all these awful jellyfish.
Exactly, and they're everywhere. Like,
stinging us everywhere, and you were just like, swim on, swim on.
Oh, yes, exactly. Oh. Exactly. Now, I obviously, that's the other area, you know, I feel like issuing a formal apology to lots of people saying, sorry, I got you to swim in jellyfish or anything like that. But there's a very important rule or very important understanding about the journey that you went on and the countless other people that I've had the privilege to work with. And that is that I never hold anyone's hand. If you're going to do this, then I will do whatever I can to help. But it's the onus is always on the individual to get up in the morning and get on with it and train and be focused. And
I do definitely think that open water swimming really did start with Swim Trek, because I think if Swim Trek hadn't sort of sowed all those seeds in all us swimmers, I don't think the open water swimming scene would be where it is today.
I think that's a fair estimate, certainly that it was right.
But now I think we're definitely getting into a second major wave when during lockdown people seem to have been taking it up in large numbers, which is so exciting. And I hope that the scene will get bigger. And
definitely. You never regret a swim. So I think that that's a... that's a great thing. And if it's focused the mind in the last year, where it has been pretty ghastly, and you say, right, what are the benefits or what are the good things that come of it? If more people are doing that and feeling better, then great.
Yeah.
It's a great sadness, but a lot of people punch below their weight. And I can see that. And my idea, I devote my life to, is to break that, is to say to people, you have enormous potential. And if I can do one thing for one person and break through, and they do anything different, and it's better for them, doesn't matter whether it's a K, doesn't matter whether it's 100 meters, whatever, but if I can do that, I would say, start your journey.
John, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thanks, guys. I also met JCR when I went to Croatia in 2019 with SwimQuest, and it was just fantastic. I did my first 6-hour qualifier, swimming around gorgeous little islands, and I felt like I could just keep going. Beautiful scenery, great people. If you ever thought a swimming holiday might be fun, my advice, book it at swimquest.uk.com. Nikki is planning a swim down the River Avon near Bristol. Not really knowing how to organise this adventure, she decided to start by seeking out a local swimmer with local knowledge. Suze Davey fitted the bill perfectly. She calls herself an adventure luster, and Vicky started by asking about that title.
Like many people I know, I just crave adventures, whether that's micro adventures or bigger adventures. On my time off from my job, my 9-to-5, I just want to be exploring outdoors, like in the river, up the mountains, in the countryside, wherever.
My father, for his 50th birthday, rowed his boat from Bristol to Bath. And my 60th birthday is coming up, and so I thought it would be fantastic to swim either from Bristol to Bath or Bath to Bristol. So I wondered if you had any thoughts on that swim.
I think it would be a fantastic swim. For me, I think it might be nicer to do Bath to Bristol purely because it's downstream.
So when you swim downstream, does the river take you?
Yeah, so there'll be a current that will be pushing you along a bit. just makes it a little bit easier.
And I'm pretty sure there's some locks and other hazards along the way. Do you know anything about the locks?
Yeah, there are 6 locks.
And are you allowed to swim through a lock?
You can't swim through a lock, but there are ladders to get out and you can just walk and then get back in the other side.
Oh.
People swim in it all the time. There are quite a few boats on that stretch of river, so you do want to be seen when you're in the water.
When people are going on longer swims in rivers, what do you do with your stuff?
We would generally arrange it so that there would be a car at the end.
And would you have like support crew?
It's nice to have someone who can pass you water or the occasional snack if you need it.
So what's the longest swim that you've done?
Just over 4 kilometres. We did a stretch of the Avon from Worley Weir, which is quite a popular swim spot, down to Bath Easton. About 20 of us did it and we had a great time.
Well, that really does sound like an adventure, Vicky.
Yes, I'm looking forward to following my dad down the River Avon.
Next month, we're talking about the mind and how swimming can help maintain your well-being. If you want to contribute, email swimoutpodcast@gmail.com.
It's been so lovely to have you here today, Mikey. Thank you.
And thank you for the tea and biscuits.
Next time, Hunter is back in the studio and we're talking to Orkney swimmer Sarah Kennedy Norcoy about swimming, grief and dementia.
So swim out and swim safely. Bye.
Bye.